I have a lot of puzzle parts today. So maybe we can string them together after I pull them out. We ask you by your Holy Spirit, Father, to speak to us, to each of us individually, and then us together as a part of the body of Christ, and then on a larger plane, the church on the earth, our part. We know there's a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. Put us in touch with the kingdom, with the great reality. What an awesome God you are, what awesome plans that you have laid, and you have made us part of them. In Jesus' name we pray. I hate to say that I was listening to Jordan Peterson some this week, but I was. You know, it's like I listened to different. What was that one, Patsy, that Peterson, there was three of them. Was it a Jewish rabbi with them and a third person? They were doing a discussion, or I don't know. It was just the fact that they were discussing things, and that when the rabbi would say things, it would be interesting from his perspective. Part of the Exodus series. I saw on the table, I'm going to have to start putting up a list of these people's names and little links for me in different places, because you've ruined me in the sense that the sources of different things that I, in the last few years, I've gotten away from reading. You know, I was reading in like the mystics and different things. I have all these books from these different places. In the last few years, I just kind of quit reading other things, sort of like I did music, where when you got some music and it's good, or it's like you got, and I know I'm older, but when I go and listen to these Beatles songs, these early ones, and they're just so simple and they're done so well, and then I would hear contemporary music and I go, it's not very good. It's just not very good. And then you go back and listen to these simple songs going, look, why don't y'all go back and write simple stuff? If it's good music and the lyrics are pretty good, you can have a pretty good okay. So spiritually, it's like that. It's like I have walking along a fence. I got to get this down quickly. Okay, so after COVID, what we noticed in church is a number of people quit going to church because they found that they could live without church. And so the numbers are down across Christendom, but especially in the United States, Canada, the numbers are way down. Okay, so it bothers me only in the sense that as being in Christianity since I was little, I want my grandchildren to be involved. And, you want it to pass on. You want the good parts, all the, not the dull things I was exposed to at different times, but the rich parts and encounters with God and with each other and the body of Christ and all this stuff. And so it appears to me as I stand back that these people that you're naming, God has raised them up as contemporary prophets. Like, there's times when Ben Shapiro, the young Jewish guy, just quits being this speaker on the current whatever's going on, and he turns into, you can almost see that he's a rabbinical person. I mean, he just goes off. He just gets in his Jewish position, and he knows God pretty well from the Jewish position. And it's encouraging. So when we hear all these, it's almost like I walked by a fence, and there's a circus on the other side, and you hear all this noise, but you know what it is, and then you have a little, a little knot hole that's knocked out, and you go over and look there, and you go, there's elephants. And I know that's not a good example, but Peterson and all of them is like discovering elephants on the other side of the fence. It's like they have expanded my awareness. I remember life being larger, spiritually life being larger, being worthwhile, being things worth looking into. And so when I go back to other source material that I had a while back, I have to admit that they're just dull to me now. They're not, I don't know if the word deep enough, I don't know what it is, just not vast enough. Just that the universe, I remembered it was vast. And it's like I'd forgotten that it was vast and that it had gotten down to a small place. And so it's expanding again. And because of that, I believe that there is a spiritual awakening just is actually started. That God has raised up these multiple voices to speak. Some of them are crazy, like y'all say. Some of them is way out there, but it still gets us to think. And it gets us to, I mean, real stuff is going on. So that's encouraging. A few weeks ago, I have been in Isaiah with reading, and I had problems trying to find how do you talk about Isaiah, this prophetic stuff. So I decided I would just pull sentences out. So a few weeks ago, when I was in Isaiah 50, there's just a verse 2 says, you don't have that up there, Marie, because this was from a few weeks ago. Why was there no man when I came, God's saying, and when I called, why was there none to answer? What an indictment against the Jewish population is that God, as New Testament Christians, we believe the Holy Spirit's here and that we are the body of Christ and that we each have different parts to play. He speaks through one, he writes through another, he lays hands on. He has all these different demonstrations that no one of us does it all. But together, we can do more. So one of the things is the position of the watchman, okay, the watchman on the wall. They all had it back then, so everybody knew what a watchman was. If you were a watchman, you didn't fall asleep. Your goal, your job was you had good eyesight. You were on part of the wall. They might have multiple ones around a city if the city was big enough. So you have somebody looking north and south and all the directions. And when somebody saw, like somebody's riding on horses or something, it's going to cause something. Or an army starts showing up. You didn't want to be caught off guard in your town. You wanted to be able to arm up everybody. So you needed watchmen. And God uses this as an illustration of saying that I have stuff I'm doing, and I expect you in Israel, and we can say Christian, you know, since we're the grafted on branch, I expect you that somebody is on the wall, that somebody is watching. If you were young people in church and no one ever said anything except that made you yawn or you draw on your bulletin or whatever you did, pretty soon you'd come up with reasons for not going. But if someone somewhere was a watchman, there was always something that they got your attention with, something that they had seen in the distance, almost like if they had been astronomers, they would have been in a big enough telescope that they would have said, hey, there's a comet coming. We spotted it. It's just entered our solar system. That's a watchman. Or if it's in medicine, they would say, you know, such and such plague is breaking out in this part of the world. Or like here in the United States, we have an increase in leprosy. We have an increase in leprosy because is it possums? Possums are carrying leprosy? Armadillos. Okay. Armadillos are carrying leprosy. Yeah. She said possum on a half shell. Had to repeat that one. That was good. That was good. So stay away from them, okay? You know? Okay. Just stay away from them. And so it's just stuff like that. We have just stuff. So, yeah. So the Lord's saying, there, I came. Nobody noticed because nobody was watching. So may the Lord raise up watchmen again. Okay, so I happened to be working outside on the brick out there, and so I was on one of those things listening, and Peterson came on and put up on the screen something, and when I can tell it's in my pocket with headphones on, I stop it, back up, and go, what did he put up? He put up a chart that showed all of Scripture laid out in little tiny little rows, and you had little taller rows, and the taller rows represented times that Scriptures had been cross-referenced other places. So this whole page was different sizes of cross-references. And I had to back it up because I thought, did he say that? That number? He says there are 65,000 cross-references in Scripture. Throughout all of the 66 books, written over 2,800 years, minus the 400 years of quietness between the Old and the New Testament, there are 65,000 cross-references that take place. Wow. God's not bored. I mean, he's not off somewhere. He's always doing things. He's always saying things. And our interaction with Scripture is tied to our interaction with the Trinity, with us having the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us and in the body. And so all of this blends together to the point is that as a church, we know that we actually are practicing this, that we are practicing our Christianity because we do things like take time, energy, and money to pray for each other. It's not just something on paper. It's something that we go out of our way. We spend gasoline, or we make an appointment, or we go see somebody, or they call us on the phone and we talk and we pray for them, or we write nowadays a text sentence of a prayer. Just part of something. So I'm going to go to.
Can I ask what?
Yes.
That was
Isaiah 50, verse 2. Why was there no man when I came? And when I called, why was there none to answer? So I'll make sure I go further into Isaiah before we quit to God talks about this, about intercession, over in 62. Okay, so I'm going to go to Luke. Like I'm saying, just treat them like puzzle parts. They're not going to line up in some sort of, they're parts of stuff. This has been bothering me tremendously about the colleges and what is going on the campuses and how it is affecting the Jewish community in America and other parts of the world and those forces behind it that are stirring up college-age people who don't even know why they're stirred up. So,
they don't even know what
college is. Yes. It could almost be funny, except it's not funny. Because there's people afraid to go out. And Jewish girl the other day, I never did find a follow-up. Somebody had a flag they were flying, and they jabbed her in the eye with the end of their flagpole, and hopefully, you know, it's just beat up eye, and she didn't lose her sight or something or another. But, okay. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. So we just jump into some of the things that's going on with Jesus about, you know, he's just been talking about the kingdom. Some 8 days, this is verse 8, New American Standard. Some 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and James, John and James, and went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. And his clothing became white and gleaming, shining. We're getting a moment of the eternal Messiah kind of just
ta-da.
I mean, just a little, God's just giving him a little something like we would see him currently right now. Okay. Verse 30, and behold, two men were talking with him. And they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Okay, I need to, okay, I'm going to go back to that word departure just a second. Verse 32, now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter says to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying. And while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. They had a night to remember right there. Now, go back to verse 31. It says, who was appearing in glory was speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Okay, the word departure in Greek is the word Exodus comes from it. He was speaking about his Exodus. He was speaking to Moses about his Exodus. And Elijah. Elijah is one of two people who didn't die. You know, Elijah, a chariot of fire comes down from heaven, takes him up. You know, he's told Elisha that if you see me, then you'll get anointing from, you know, so he's following him around everywhere, you know, and then the chariot comes and kind of separates the two of them. And the last he sees of Elijah is that he's gone off in a chariot to heaven. And Enoch was the other one who was translated. So we got two people that didn't, they just were pulled into eternity. So one of those two, Elijah, is here talking to Jesus about coming events, undoubtedly, and Moses. Moses, who has gone from saying, I can't talk, and God says, your brother can talk for you. And then all the things that happen to later, you know, when he's out there and God is really ticked off with him, and he's gotten Moses aside and said, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to start a new people group, and you're going to be head of them. And Moses, the human, talking to the Creator, God's manifest presence, takes God aside, sort of, and says, oh, you don't need to do this. You won't look good. You know, they're all going to say, well, he was strong enough to take them out, but he wasn't strong enough to take them in. And it says God changed his mind. Moses, the guy that couldn't talk, that stuttered, has now been around God enough that he just takes God aside and gives him a talking to. I mean, wow. So he's talking to Jesus. And it's like, you know, they have kind of stepped out of the eternal time zone. And Jesus has got, undoubtedly, you know, he is present on the mountain with the three disciples. So it's kind of like one foot is with them on the mountain and the other one is in eternal time zone. And he is glowing like the sun at night. I I didn't take time to write little numbers besides these. So, okay. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the completion of the cycle of the prophets. He's kind of the end of the prophets. So chapter 4, the whole chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. They're going to be burned up to a crisp, nothing left, just some burnt dust. But for you who hear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, you know, playful. And you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances I commanded him in Horeb up on the mountain. For all Israel, verse 5, behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. He's going to send the one who was translated back. So we have in Luke on the mountain, Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah, the one that's been translated. So now the potential has started. But the hearts of the fathers can be turned to the children, and the children to the fathers. That the spiritual world can be fixed. Because this marks a clock on the mountain that night. Told you I got puzzle parts. I don't have answers. If you're waiting for an answer, I don't have an answer. I have puzzle parts. Okay. Isaiah 62, verse 6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. What are they not being silent about? This is what they're doing. You remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong arm, that would be the symbolic gesture of the Messiah, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. So Karen sent me last night a connection to Rita Springer speaking on, what was the subject that?
Trust and disappointment.
Trust and disappointment. An excellent, if you go find it, she did it not too long ago. Yes, so it's like 50 minutes. I mean, it was an excellent thing. She sings. Okay, so
She sends it to me, and it's on YouTube, so I call up YouTube this morning early, drinking coffee, and I'm playing this. And then, because I was still sitting there, as YouTube does, it called up the next thing it wanted to call, and it was Jonathan Cain, or Khan, you know, the Jewish, completed Jewish guy that's really good at prophetic things. And he was speaking on Psalms 58. And he it's like a 22-minute little message. And he goes through and traces out the different time periods from 1948 with Israel, of when, you know, after World War II, they decide that they're going to give them a piece of land because of the Holocaust. And so they declare in May, maybe May the 14th, 1948, that they're going to make this piece of land, and they're going to call it Israel, and going to give them a place for the Jews to stay. Now, the countries nearby did not like this. They immediately start a kind of a war goes on, but they survive it. And then we have all these other periods, the Six-Day War, the different time periods of things that have happened during the Six-Day War. I forgot what year that was, 67, I don't remember. The number of surrounding groups that were hostile to the Jews numbered something like 6 to 1. There were 6 of them for every 1 Jewish person that was in the country. But God let them prevail. And if you go read some of the encounters, why the Jewish people were fighting, some of them would report people showing up fighting, and then after the war scene was over, they would ask about them, and other Jewish people would go, I didn't know them. I thought you knew them. No. Well, whose group did they come from? We don't know. Was it angels fighting? Possibly. There were people, you know, God was manning things during the Six-Day War, some stuff going on. So that give me no rest until I've reestablished this. And I have one more there. Let's see, Isaiah 59, verse 15 through 21. Isaiah says, yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Well, now, why does that astonish God, except that intercession is not just something nice that Christians do? Intercession, talking to God about a situation, is life-changing. You have the potential to turn history by talking to God about the things that God wants you to talk to him about. Not about your list or my list, because we all have lists of stuff that we want God to do personally. But when you get on, when you get aligned in the moment, and some people are better at this, at lining themselves up with God than others, and that's okay, we don't judge each other. It's just that when you get aligned with your voice and you are talking to God about an issue that God wants it to be brought out, then the spirit of intercession comes on you, and God, from his place, executes things. Events change because you've lined up with a kingdom of heaven. I'm not jumping on Christians in America because we're all part of this, but I'm just tell you that there's not many that's good at lining up with God. We're just not. If we were good at lining up with God and the kingdom will, we would see effects a lot, there are effects, but nowhere near as what there should be. So the conclusion is that some way, somebody needs to learn how to intercede. Now, if we say that we're not good at it, well, then we should at least intercede for intercessors. We could at least spend our time going, I'm not good at this, but I'd like to talk to you, God, about you, about you raising up somebody that can talk to me. Verse 16 again. So he saw there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. And then his own arm brought salvation to him, which is Jesus. And his righteousness upheld him. And he put on righteousness like a breastplate, like armor, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay. Wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense. And so they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, that's the direction we live, and his glory from the rising of the sun in the east. And he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord dries. A redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. God is going to raise up a people connected to Jesus the Messiah, and they will say and repeat whatever. All we have to do is turn off the sound so we don't hear their voices, and we convert it to black and white instead of color, and suddenly it's 1939 in German. Well, I mean, it's like as you're saying that, there is an exposure going on. God is allowing this. It's unfortunate that it's the Jewish young people and then the Jewish neighborhoods being exposed to this, but he is bringing this out into the light. I mean, we need it. In the 30s, in watching a couple of videos, some of the propaganda videos that Hitler's people had put together, we're not very far from those same late 1930 things before they privately got together and devised a plan for the Holocaust. For all we know, that's going on right now in circles of power somewhere in some back place. So as being the grafted on limb of Christianity onto the tree of God's is that we need to pray for God's justice and God's protection for the Jewish people wherever they are in the world and whatever school and this is not how it should be. And Christians are for justice and righteousness, all these things, and may he continue to raise up intercessors, no matter how wild they are in their podcast. They're still they are bringing things to the light. A numbers of voices are showing up. And the powers that have existed in the media until now is starting to be unraveled from NPR of people quitting. When the Desert Storm and all that was going on, there was a Bible study group that existed in Southside, a prayer group that I would go to that was from the meeting. There was an offspring of that. And they were down at the Abernathys or somebody's house, the different places. Because I know when Wanda was there praying, by the time Wanda got through praying, you might as well go home. She was a prayer warrior that could just pray out everything that needed to be prayed in the group. And you can hardly think of something to add to it except amen to everything that Wanda just said, you know. But before this would start each night, I would watch the black and white imagery coming from CNN that was coming from the Desert Storm to see how was the war stuff going on, and then I would report that into the group, and as we prayed for stuff, and I think I don't ever watch CNN anymore. They went from being people that actually produced true news around the world to people that did their point of view. It was so obvious that, wow, what a change. So now that these prophetic voices are rising in all these different podcasting forms, and whether they're ones with where you can see them or you just listen to them, like, wow, God, more. Raise up voices equivalent to the Old Testament prophets. I would prefer to be Christian, and then if not Christian, Jewish. But then if not Christian and Jewish, well, then I'll take them as non-Christians right now if they bring the truth out. If somebody will just stand up and go, the king has no clothes on. I just want truth again for my children's children, as Isaiah says. So thank you all for letting me throw all these stuff's been floating around for the last few days. Lord, bless your children, your Jewish children and your Christian children. Lord, bless your children. We want the Jewish children to come in the reality that Messiah has arrived as in Jesus. But until then, bless them, strengthen them in all the places they find themselves, all the places the young ones that are afraid or the adults that are afraid. Would you raise up some Christian protectors? Would you raise up some Christians to stand beside them, going, this is not right? Would you raise up some people that confront all of the darkness, all the blindness, all of the stupid stuff going on different college campuses or different places, wherever it is? Would you defend the land mass that you have made as the promised land? Would you watch over it from one end to the other end? Would you equip Israel's military to do what they need to do from Gaza all the way up to Lebanon? We stand with you, Lord. We still say that mercy can triumph over judgment. We don't really want judgment on anyone, but if it comes to that and you choose to let that go forth, then so be it. But we say that in humility. We say that in gentleness. We are not for battle and killing just to eradicate somebody. We're not for that. We're for you. You so loved the world that you sent your only son. Jesus so loved you and loved us that he was obedient all the way to the cross. He deserves to be seated in the place at your right hand of power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, our rising up, our lying down, our coming in, our going out. Thank you for this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.